It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. In Florida, more than 1.5 million people can't vote. They're ex-felons, and though they've served their time, the state's constitution bans them from voting unless they get clemency from the state. And to get that, you go before a board headed by the governor. A federal judge in Florida ruled last week that that board does not have clear standards and that the process for deciding who gets back the right to vote and who doesn't is unconstitutional. It's a big fight in Florida. Charlie Crist was the Republican governor of Florida from 2007 to 2011. He's currently a congressman and a Democrat, and he told me that under his administration, ex-felons were given a second chance.
Under our administration, over 155,000 former felons got their rights restored during the 4 years that I had the honor of serving as governor of Florida. Under the new administration, however, they changed it right away after Governor Scott got elected in 2010. And only about 3,000 people in the past 7 years or so, almost eight now, have gotten their rights restored compared to the 155,000 we had. So it was a dramatic change. It broke my heart because I believe in second chances and I believe in forgiveness.
At what point when you were in charge in the governor's office did felons have their rights restored? Was it after prison time was over, after probation, and after restitution, after all of that was cleared?
That is correct, yeah. In other words, you had to, quote-unquote, pay your debt to society. You know, somebody had committed a crime in you know, the cases we're talking about here of a nonviolent nature. Once that sentence, probation, had been served, then they'd paid their debt to society. And so if you truly believe in that, as I did, their rights would be restored upon that completion.
Do we know under the current system that Governor Rick Scott has instituted, he chairs a commission of himself and members of the cabinet. They decide. Do we know who they're deciding gets their rights back and who doesn't?
I think a big part of the judge's ruling that came down last week basically says that it's too subjective. It's almost a mystery. And, you know, it's sort of at the behest of whatever the governor and the other members of the Florida cabinet think it is. And being that subjective, it makes it very difficult for someone to know what the parameters are, what the expectations might be, because from one applicant to another, they change. And so that's part of the problem. And I think why the judge made the ruling that he did, that in fact, it's unconstitutional.
Let me take the real politic view of this, Congressman, if I can. And I'm positive you've been asked this question before. You might view your differences with Governor Scott from a partisan lens, saying, well, Charlie Crist wants more felons to vote because those former felons might be more likely to vote Democratic. Rick Scott doesn't because those former felons might be more likely to vote Democratic.
Well, I can give you my perspective. Mine is not a political one. Mine is a moral grounding. And I didn't really look at it as a right versus left political sort of issue, more of right versus wrong.
Congressman, Governor Scott's response here suggests a pretty rapid appeal. Based on what you know about the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which would get this at the next level, where do you think this case heads?
Well, I'm not sure, but that's a very important point, I think, because, you know, some may be cheering, and I'm among them, the ruling, that is, and I think that that's important. But I also think that we have to remain vigilant because, you know, the appeal process will take time, but can drag out for quite a time in some cases. And that's why it's so significant that in Florida in particular, we now have this constitutional amendment that we know for a fact will be on the ballot in November of 18. Another addition to that that makes it additionally challenging is the fact that in Florida, we require a 60% majority in order to adopt constitutional amendments to the Florida Constitution. And so it's going to take a lot of work. I believe and hope and pray that it will pass, but that may happen before the end of the court scenario.
Congressman Charlie Crist, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Todd. Appreciate your time.
One view on felons' voting rights in Florida from the former governor there. Well, not everyone agrees. Richard A. Harrison is a Florida attorney and executive director of Floridians for a Sensible Voting Rights Policy. They're a nonprofit that advocates for a case-by-case review for all felons in the state and opposes the federal judge's ruling in this case.
The board consists of Governor Scott and several of the cabinet officers. They are the ultimate decision-making authority on clemency petitions. The process is described a little bit in the judge's order. There is a waiting period on the front end. So before one can even apply for clemency, there's a waiting period of either 5 or 7 years. Then a petition is filed. there's a lot of data collected, and at some point in the process, the applicant is entitled to go in front of the clemency board and try to make their case for clemency. There are some rules that govern how the board operates. Depending on your point of view, either the act of clemency is completely discretionary with the governor and the board, or if you're Judge Walker, it's completely arbitrary.
Do we know typically who gets denied and who gets granted a restoration of voting rights in front of this board? There have been criticisms here that very few people got their right to vote back, that it went from 30,000 under Governor Crist to 3,000 under Governor Scott. Do we have any data about who gets a yes and who gets a no?
I don't know that there is any data that is the kind of information that you could look at and analyze to try to figure out, you know, what gets you forgiveness and what doesn't. We certainly know the raw numbers, and you've mentioned some of them, but I don't know that there's a whole lot of substantive data that's maintained.
Well, Richard, I think a lot of people looking at this from a distance might think, well, if you commit a felony, you get caught, you plead guilty or you're convicted, you might go to prison or have some other punishment. Once that punishment is done and you come out and all your restitution is paid, why don't you get your voting rights back right away? They say the debt to society is paid. Why should there be anyone deciding that you might not get it back?
Well, let's go back to the fundamental premise, which is this idea that you go to prison, you serve your time, and your debt to society is paid. And this has sort of become the lead argument, the appeal on the other side of this issue. But that's not really how life works. There are lots of situations where if you commit a crime, there are serious implications that will follow you long after you get out of prison. If you commit a sexual felony, you may serve all your time, get out of prison, and find that you're on a registry of sex offenders, which will haunt you for the rest of your life and dictate where you can live and where you can work. So this idea that there are no consequences of crime once you walk out of prison simply isn't the case.
Why should voting be one of those consequences, though?
Well, the short answer in Florida is because the Constitution says so.
So you're of the view that the federal court decision was wrong here. What would you like to see happen here?
Well, I don't want to talk too much about what might happen in the immediate short term because the parties have until next week to submit additional briefing about what an appropriate remedy might be. Eventually, what will happen is the judge will consider whatever the parties submit in this next round, and he will then issue some type of an injunction, and it will tell the state of Florida either that it must do certain things or it must not do certain things. And then I assume pretty confidently that the state will appeal that decision to the 11th Circuit.
Richard A. Harrison, Executive Director of Floridians for a Sensible Voting Rights Policy. Thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you, Todd.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.